Sermon title today is The Power of Choice. And if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31, Proverbs 31, probably been more Mother's Day messages preached on this passage of Scripture than any other passage in the Bible. In Proverbs 31, we see things like it's read here in verse 10 through 15. So Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservant. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard." A lady told me one time on verse 16 that she was a Christian lady, and evidently she had the money to be able to do that, but she thought, well, the Scripture says that she should buy land because that would show that she is a virtuous woman and that God would bless her, and she went out and she bought a farm. And then later on she regretted it because she did have trouble getting it sold. But the whole teaching of this is not that a mother needs to go out and buy land or that she needs to do this with her hands or with that with her hands, but that she is meeting the needs of her family. That's what it's talking about. In verse 20 through 31, maybe you sow, maybe you don't sow. It doesn't matter. So when we look at verse 20, it says, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and her own works. Praise her in the gates. So like I said, maybe you sow and maybe you do not sow. It doesn't mean anything. It's talking about the provision for your family, that you're meeting the needs of your family. Your priority in life is your relationship with God and with your family. Meeting the needs of the family, that is a wife of good character. If I had to narrow it down to one thing that mothers teach more than anything else, I want to narrow this down to one thing that mothers teach more than anything else, it would be the word choices. You're still probably talking to your kids, no matter what their age is today, about choices and the choices that they are making. So in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 through 31, are verses most talked about on Mother's Day, but today I want us to pull our attention to verse 1 through 9. Same chapter, chapter 31, but go to verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, "What, my son, and what son of my womb, and what a son of my vows, do you not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings? It is not for kings. It is for kings to drink, not to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all that is afflicted." Now, I want you to listen to this as we're reading about it and thinking about the choices. This is a mother that is talking to her son that is a king, okay? "Mom, you're not going to tell me anything. I rule the house. I'm the boss. I'm the king." No, she is talking to her son and saying something that is wise and instructing and also constructive in his life, that he needs to make the right choices in his life, whether he's a king or whether he's not a king. It goes on to say, Verse 8, open your mouth for the speeches in verse 8, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. A mother speaking to the heart of her son, the king, the power to choose. The power of choice. If you think of all the things that you have more constructive power over than anything else in your life, it's the choice. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy in chapter 30. We go to verse 19. In verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. Now listen to the words. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. God wants us to freely choose to serve him, to worship him. He could have created more angels, but he did not create more angels. He could have made robots, but he didn't make robots, and he doesn't want you to be a robot. He wanted those that freely have the ability to choose to serve him, to love him. The power of choice, the ability to choose, is one of the most powerful things placed in each and every one of our hands. A mother recognized it would make her son the king that would be loved or a king that would be cursed. How many choices have you made today since you woke up? We make thousands a week of different choices. Have you noticed in the power of choice, there is no middle ground? It's either yes or no. It's either I will or I won't. You're either in or out. There are no kind of yeses and kind of no's. Spiritually, you're either saved or you're not saved. You know God or you don't know God. You choose life eternal, or you choose life that is separated from God. There are no halfway points in the power to choose. Now save your place in Deuteronomy, but turn with me to Revelations chapter 3. Revelations in chapter 3. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 14... the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, he says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, says the Amen and the faithful and the true witness, beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, in white garments, and you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. In verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now review verse 15 and 16 again. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot, and I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. In the power of choice, how can you work with someone that is in between? Are you going to go to work tomorrow? Are you not going to go to work tomorrow? I haven't decided yet. How can you work with somebody that is always in between on their decision making when you have the power and the ability to choose? The power of a choice. It's either yes or no. this church has compromised the truth. So they are standing right in the middle, or they think they are. To the point, kind of yes and kind of no is an okay place to be. And many churches today in America believe it is an okay place to be in the middle. I don't want to be looked upon as not accepting. I don't want to be looked upon as a hater. I don't want to be looked upon as being so strict that we don't allow other people, that we're not more woke in our churches. And you can see where it's driving the church to today. In a dispensational view, this church represents a church in the last days. Does it represent the church in America? And I say that yes, it does. Saints, we must choose life and always choose life. We must choose gender at birth and always gender at birth. The sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, we must choose the truth of the scriptures. You can't accept the word of God as God breathed, God inspired, and say we're going to sprinkle a little bit of evolution in there. You're either in or out. You're either for it or you're against it. You can't say that this holds the word of God, but it holds partly of something else. Because if you don't believe all of it, you don't believe none of it. And that's the church in America today. It's become so woke and we've become so liberal. We're not standing on the word of God. We're not speaking the truth of the word of God. And this nation needs the word of God spoken into it more than anything else. Amen. Amen. You have just landed in the middle of cold and hot. The church in America is being called upon to choose. The church in America is called to testify by its faith. The church must stand for truth, not evil. Are you all in for God or are you not? Are you cold or hot? Being lukewarm, as we see in the scripture, it does not work. Now turn back with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to go to verse 1 through 3. We can read the whole chapter, but we won't take time to do that. But maybe when you're home this afternoon, you put your finger in there where Deuteronomy chapter 30 is and read through that. But in verse 1 it says, "Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, and according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity, have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you." Before the people or the nation of Israel, a choice was placed before them, a blessing or a curse. Here in verse 19, when we read verse 19, we'll read that again. He says, "I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." But he tells them what? Which is amazing. He says, make the choice for life. Did you catch that in there? He says in verse 19, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." He says what? "Therefore, choose life." What do you choose today? This is all about choices, isn't it? I mean, we start out when we're crawling on the floor. My great-granddaughter, she's all about, now we're teaching her choices. That's a good choice. That's a bad choice. That's the right thing to do. That's the wrong thing to do. It's all about choices. And it's all about choices in our relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Do we choose God or we not choose God? There is no middle ground. So the tribute for the mothers today, because I choose life. I want to thank all of the moms for teaching all of us the value and the power of choice.